From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Prado, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zippessa. Zippessa stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Mubtahij is the leader. Win the space, Midnight Storm, Cupid battling home. But Mubtahij is a globalized class act. He wins the awesome again.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast. As he clings to the lead from Gunavera, IRAP is third on the inside. Taproot is fourth. It is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, our producer, Lee Delapina. We are all with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Now just 13 days, 6 hours, and 23 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar, which, by the way, also means that we are only 196 days, 9 hours, 54 minutes, and 15 seconds away from the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs.
I don't even want to think about it.
I was kind of in countdown mode today, could you tell?
Yeah, I guess. One major event at a time, please.
Boy, that Breeders' Cup is just going to be gangbusters. Of course, the first time it will be held at Del Mar. Many people are well aware of that now. And Jude, you are much more familiar with Del Mar than I am. I've been there on two different occasions. The first time was about, 15 years ago now, maybe even longer than that. The second one was just a couple of years ago on opening weekend when it poured for 2 days straight. I mean, they took races off the turf. It was a sloppy track. First time in 30-plus years they had taken races off the turf. So I've already requested that our broadcast position this year at Breeders' Cup be undercover because I know I'm a complete jinx when it comes to the weather at Del Mar.
Yeah, and Joe Harper, the president of Del Mar, he has your picture in every post office.
Wanted.
Not wanted.
Yeah. I'm surprised they're going to let me back on the grounds.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you. I would pay you to stay home.
Our good friend and colleague Jeff Bloom was just shaking his head. He's a native of San Diego, and he told me, he said, look, it never rains out here. You show up for opening weekend, and it pours for 2 days straight.
Yeah, very unusual. I trained horses at Del Mar for 20 years. And we had one gigantic rainstorm while I was training in that 20-year span. And two times in my life, I've been at Del Mar when it rained. That was one of them. And the other one was when I was pretty young. I think I was like 16 years old. And my brother Bob and I took the bus from San Diego. That's a long time ago. And it poured down rain. And we were getting killed at the windows. And then we came up with this filly of Ron McAnally's. It was about the sixth race. Her name was Fast Hattie. She was a first-time starter. And way back somewhere, we knew she had a good workout in the mud, and we loaded up on her, and she won by about 15 lengths. It's a race I will never forget because we were so excited.
Great memory.
it was a great memory. Mine's not so great anymore, but I can still see the green and blue striped silks of Fernando Gonzalez coming down the stretch with Fast Hattie. It was pretty fun.
For people like me who are much more familiar with Saratoga than they are Del Mar, for example, what's the best thing about Del Mar and racing in that location?
The atmosphere is a lot different than Saratoga. Saratoga is great. I've come to love Saratoga. But the atmosphere at Del Mar, it's very relaxed. Everybody's walking around in shorts and Hawaiian shirts and slaps and you see people come in right off the beach and watch their horse run, and a lot of times they'll go back to the beach. It's just a very Southern California, laid-back style kind of place. It's beautiful. It's the racing's good there, and it's come a long, long way. I mean, I like to tell the story of the first year that I trained horses at Del Mar on a regular basis. My first starter was at Del Mar, but I finished third. But that was the end of the meet. And the next year, I had four horses that I was taking care of myself. And I think I ran 14 times, and I was never out of the money. And my gross purse total was $15,000.
Wow.
Now, granted, I didn't have the best horses on the grounds. I had some of the cheaper horses on the grounds, but we had a very good meeting, and still the purses totaled $15,000.
Weren't you leading trainer at Del Mar?
I was not leading trainer at Del Mar.
For a brief stint?
For a brief stint, yes, I did win the first race on opening day one day. So.
Which puts you at the top of the list.
Which puts me at the
top
of the list.
You held that position for a while.
Yeah, but I think I might have been like fifth or seventh leading trainer at Del Mar one year. When I was training for Vic Tabak, we had a string of nice horses that were all ready to roll. And I had one horse, Valamo, that won six races in a row. But I think he won five at Del Mar.
Yeah.
So, he was a horse that had a lot of issues, including coughing. The vet wanted to scratch him a couple times, and I used to tell the vet he smoked six packs a day, this horse. He just was he had more issues, Valamo. He had a bowed tendon. He had sesamoid issues. The day I claimed him, Vic had owned his half-brother and had success with him. And he calls me one night, Jude, I want to claim a horse. And I go, who do you want to claim? And he tells me Valamo. And so it was at Hollywood Park, and I go out and I watch this horse jog. He had these big paddock boots on, and he jogged all the way from the barn, and he moved great, you know. But then when I dropped the slip when they took the paddock boots off, I saw his legs, and I go, oh my, get out the rosary beads here. And he had a fever that day. It was a nightmare. But, we got him fixed up and he was a really nice horse for us. We had a lot of fun with him.
All right. Well, all of our Breeders' Cup coverage begins a week from this coming Monday. That's October 30th when we kick it off with a Breakfast at Breeders' Cup show. That's going to be live from Del Mar. It's going to be myself, Jude, and Jeff Bloom. Now, that show on Monday is going to be available streaming worldwide. It's a video presentation. They're actually going to put us on camera. Do you believe it? That maybe is not going to be a good selling point for people to tune in. But anyway, they are.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, the whole face for radio thing, I think, holds true.
Don't want to see what shirt I'm wearing.
Yeah. So tune in 7 to 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10 to 1 Eastern, beginning a week from Monday, October 30th, and you can tune in at breederscup.com. You can tune in horseracingradio.net, watch that video coverage, and should be a lot of fun. Then on Tuesday, we come back again at 7 a.m. Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern time. I'm going to do this a million times over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to confuse my time zones, but make sure you join us there on Tuesday. We kick it off our Breeders' Cup Countdown shows presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns. We come back on Friday and Saturday afternoon with all of our race coverage exclusively here on the network. The only place you'll hear the Breeders' Cup on radio is with us, and that coverage is presented by visitbarbados.org, and you should definitely visit Barbados. We highly recommend it. You can see a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule on our website, horseracingradio.net.
Yeah.
Busy week.
Yeah, you think?
Just a little bit.
It's already busy week.
Yeah, we've already begun.
And you just said it's like 13 days or something?
Yeah. So, do you want the countdown
again? No, I really don't.
Okay.
It'll be here soon enough.
No winning your in race is going to be contested this weekend. Those are finished, so everybody has punched their ticket to the Breeders' Cup that is going to through that Breeders' Cup Challenge Series. Do have a good race at Keeneland later this afternoon, the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run presented by Lexus and the Lexus store of Lexington here on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. The Godfather, Tony Attiano, was set to join us here this morning. He's a bit under the weather, so won't be able to make it. That is very disappointing because he is one of our favorite guests that we have on throughout the year. And what you'll have to do is you'll have to stop out to the Lexus store now, and you'll have to see the Godfather and Mike Hendricks and all the great folks who are horse people, and you'll have to make sure the Godfather's feeling okay and talk to him about horses for a while and then test drive a new Lexus. They have an unbelievable sale going on right now. So when you're listening to this, you're in town, you're looking for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, swing out, see the folks at the Lexus store of Lexington and tell the Godfather that you hope he feels well and wish him the best. And then hop in one of those new Lexuses and give it a test drive.
Yeah, and just don't bring it back.
Chris McCarron once asked me, Chris is a Lexus owner, and Chris asked me one time, if it, you're talking about multiple Lexus, is it Lexuses, Lexi? What is it?
I don't know. I would say...
What's plural for Lexus?
I would say Lexi. Sounds good. I like that. Sounds better than Lexuses.
We'll get a couple of Lexi.
A Frenchman would never go for Lexuses.
No. It's
cacophonic.
All right. Well, here's our poll question for this morning. Then we'll tell you what's coming up over the next 2 hours. Going to talk some Breeders' Cup, and we're going to talk about the Lexus Raven Run. We'll talk about the Maryland Million, which comes up at Laurel later today. And by the way, our coverage of the Lexus Raven Run and the Maryland Million comes back this afternoon. That's 5 o'clock Eastern time. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, brings you 1 hour of coverage, 5 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. All right, here's your poll question. You can vote at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We want to know, how do you like to bet the Breeders' Cup? And we're going to give you a few different choices. I know there are a plethora of ways that you can bet now, but here are the choices. How do you like to bet the Breeders' Cup? Choice number one, multi-race wagers. Pick threes, pick fours, pick sixes. Option number two, exactas, trifectas, superfectas. Option number three, win, place, and show bets. And option number four is other. And if you choose that one, specify, let us know a different way that you like to play the Breeders' Cup. What's your favorite way to play, JT?
Well, I usually start out with the horses that I'm going to bet straight. And so they usually have to fall like in the 6 or 8 to 1 and higher range. I don't bet too many favorites during the Breeders' Cup. Hardly ever, actually. And I usually bet like, you know, win in place on those. Because if you do finish second, sometimes the payoffs are fantastic. And I start there. And then pick threes and pick fours are bets that I enjoy, and they often pay massive prices during the Breeders' Cup. So that gets a little action for me. Once in a while, a trifecta box, or I don't know if they're going to have dime supers on this year, but you know, if you just want to screw around, you can play a dime super box, you know, five horse box or something, and see if you're walking around lucky. All the bets pay very good most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's more than the parlay on your horizontal bets and you know, the verticals. If you can catch the right horse, you know, in an exacta, trifecta, superfecta, you can make a lot of money. So, but I try to be sensible because you can go a little nutso.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's lots of good horses, and you know, I try to find the horses that I think have a legitimate chance to win that the crowd doesn't like. Those are usually my key bets on the day.
Yep. Yeah, I'm more of a trifecta player. I do that throughout the year, and I try to stick to that game plan. I will play a few more pick threes and pick fours with Breeders' Cup just because I know that the value is there. And it is at other events too, but you know, certainly at Breeders' Cup, you can make a huge score with one of those pick threes and pick fours. And the problem with those bets is I just get so frustrated because I get so bummed out when I'm knocked out after the first leg. And then I'm thinking, well, what was the point of that? I could have played a trifecta and, you know, maybe hit the trifecta. Instead,
it reminds me of one of my old clients. When the pick six first came out, he used to play all in the first leg and then single out the rest because
yeah.
He didn't want to be. That might be a way for you to go.
I have done that before.
Just all the first leg and hope that the next two legs.
I do like alling. Well, of course, it gets expensive with Breeders' Cup with so many horses. But on a, you know, just playing an average pick four or pick three at a regular race day, I do like hitting the all button maybe in one of those legs that you think is wide open. Then you turn it a pick four into a pick three, right? Because you only have to be right on three of the others.
Right.
Right? So I like doing it that way, but, you know, again, at Breeders' Cup, you have to really, like you said, you can go a little nutso. It can be a little crazy.
One thing I found, like if you're a pick four player, sometimes it's helpful to cut back to pick threes, you know?
Yeah.
If you're a pick three player, maybe play some rolling doubles. It's so hard. And I think you know, you always want to go for the big score, but I think sometimes – you know, you have to, you know, scale back a little bit because the payoffs are going to be very large anyway. So, you know, it doesn't sometimes it doesn't pay to get greedy. And sometimes you have a great idea about the races and how a certain race, certainly in a pick four, if you can find a single and win with it and turn the pick four into a pick three, I think that's a very good strategy. But as you said, the money, the bets grow exponentially, and there's very rare occurrences where you have a horse that's 8 or 10 to 1 that you absolutely love, yeah. And feel like singling. So,
all right, when we come back, we're going to focus on one specific division of the Breeders' Cup. That's the Breeders' Cup Distaff. We'll talk about that race a little bit. You're going to hear from Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott, who has been a staple in terms of success in that race over the years. He's going to talk about Elate in our next segment. Then we'll bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, and after that, it will be Ross Gallo, who is a 13-time NHC qualifier. That's right, the National Handicapping Championship. He'll be competing in the Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge at Gulfstream on January 26th and 27th of next year. We'll spend some time talking with Ross coming up right around 8:35 Eastern Time. Cricket Goodall from the Maryland Thoroughbred Horse Breeders Association and Maryland Million will be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern to talk about their huge afternoon of racing coming up at Laurel later today. Trainer Corby Chiesa is going to be with us as well. He'll be with us at 9:22 Eastern Time to discuss this afternoon's run at history for his exciting 6-year-old Admiral's War Chest as he looks to pull off a third consecutive victory in the Maryland Million Classic. So a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to get to. We kick it off next with Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott right here on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRN.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Racing fans, with just 2 weekends left, be sure to make plans to join us at Santa Anita before time runs out on October 29th. This Saturday and Sunday, you can take a shot at up to $10,000 in cash prizes and much more by signing up for our $500 Autumn Handicapping Challenge at SantaAnita.com. Our main event Saturday is the $100,000 California Flag Handicap. As always, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four and $100,000 in the pick six. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crop still to come.
Jack in the ascendancy light.
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This is Bob Baffert, you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Shimmering Aspen and Tequilita, the only two in with a shot, it appears, as they're midway around the far turn. Yorkie Poo Princess, here's Shimmering Aspen and Tequilita. Tequilita takes over with a furlong left to run. Back behind her, Yorkie Poo Princess, a stroll in the park, burned from the back with Overture. They're closing in with a 16th to go. Here's Tequilita, Yorkie Poo Princess, Overture and burned. It's Tequilita to take the Oaks. She takes the Charlestown Oaks by a length and a half. Over Yorkie Poo Princess, burned and Overture, the final time, 126 flat.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN. Paul Espinoza with the call of the Charlestown Oaks. Tequilita getting the victory that day. She will be back in action later this afternoon in the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run. As a matter of fact, the first three finishers from that Charlestown Oaks all making their way to the Bluegrass for that Grade 2 event, and you will hear it exclusively with us here on the network beginning 5 o'clock Eastern. Stream us worldwide on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, Bluetooth us in your car, all at horseracingradio.net. Well, don't forget that racing action continues 4 days a week at Woodbine until Sunday, December 10th. The early pick four wager on live thoroughbred racing cards will carry a guaranteed pool of $100,000 on Wednesdays, and on Saturdays and Sundays, $50,000. Check that. Saturdays and Sundays, also $100,000, $50,000 on Fridays at Woodbine for that early pick four wager and that guarantee. With the Thoroughbred Pick 5 guaranteed at $30,000 on Fridays and $50,000 Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. As always, Woodbine offers 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools during the racing cards. For more information, all you have to do is head over to woodbineracetrack.com, and don't forget about that fourth and final leg of Woodbine's Turf Endurance Series on October 22nd, the longest race ever run on North American turf. How about this, JT? 2.25 miles. Pretty cool.
Yeah, right up my alley.
Yeah, that coming up tomorrow. Be fun to watch.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
So we told you we were going to focus on the Breeders' Cup Distaff Division in this segment. And yesterday, or 2 days ago actually, Anthony Stabile with Express Bet Radio had the chance to visit with Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott and talk about his super talented filly, Elate. And here's what Bill had to say.
The trainer who leads the Breeders' Cup Distaff and wins with 5. He won it in 1997 with Agena, 1998 with Asina, 2010 with Unrivaled Bell, and then back-to-back 3 in a row, 2011, 2012 with the one and only Royal Delta, is on the line right now, Hall of Famer Bill Mott. Bill, thanks for a few minutes today. I know you had a busy day here on Express Bet Radio. I appreciate it.
Hey, Tony, how you doing? All right?
Doing great. I would have been doing a lot better if I would have taken your advice when we had you on the day before the Alabama, because you basically did everything besides tell me to take a $100 bill out of my pocket and bet it on Elate. I bet I bet Lockdown that day. She ran to the way you thought she would, came back with a dynamite performance in the Beldame, and now you look for a record 6th Distaff victory.
Yeah, well, it's been a good race for us, and it seems like most of the winners we've had in the Breeders' Cup have come out of the Beldame. So, a couple of them have actually finished second. I think Unrivaled Bell had finished second. I want to say Royal Delta maybe finished second one time, and so I think Agena had finished second, if my memory serves me correctly. So the progression from the Beldame to the Breeders' Cup Distaff has worked for us before. Hopefully it'll do it again.
You noticed a lot of progression in this filly from earlier this year until the summertime when she almost the flip switched in the CCA Oaks when that was that the inquiry with Abel Tasman. Have you noticed this a similar progression as the fall has continued on?
Well, you know, I think the biggest change we probably saw was, you know, maybe before the Alabama was a lot of progression. I mean, she's always worked well, but it just seemed like, you know, she was doing it like freaky types of work, you know, like, I've had the same work rider on her, you know, the whole time and, you know, she would work in 47, and he said, my gosh, he said, it just felt like I was going in 50. And, you know, so she, it's one of those horses that will fool you because she's just so big and so strong and got such a good stride on her when she, you know, when she starts breezing. And I think that's probably the difference.
You've shipped her a lot this year, Tampa, Oaklawn, Keeneland, Churchill, Delaware, Saratoga, Belmont. That's nine. She's going to be making her ninth start in the distaff. Does that take a little of the apprehension away about having to go across the country and out to Delmar?
Yeah, she's pretty good. You know what I mean? When you take her to the paddock, I mean, she doesn't, you know, she's there for business. She doesn't turn a hair. I mean, she's been really good about that part of it. You know, we've shipped her down. We shipped from Saratoga down to Belmont to run, and we were there a couple of days ahead of time, but, you know, schooled her in the paddock, and she just handled it all very well, very professionally.
For a multitude of reasons, you know, you've trained a ton of spectacular fillies. The one she draws the most comparisons to is Royal Delta. I think they both really had their coming out party in the Alabama. And then, of course, Royal Delta went on to be one of the best race mares we've seen in the last 25 years. Of all of your distaff winners, does she compare to Royal Delta the best, or do you have a better comparison to the fillies you've trained?
I would probably say so, particularly the way she ran last time. I mean, Royal Delta was a little quirky and you know, disposition-wise was, you know, I'll say challenging, you know, rather than difficult. But, you know, the way she would run, when she would turn in her best race, I mean, she appeared to me to be running the same way. And this filly gave me the impression the last time when she was going down the backside in behind horses, you know, he had a nice long hold of her and she was striding along and she was doing it so effortlessly. And, you know, then when she split horses and finished up, she looked a lot like Royal Delta. She gave me, you know, that impression. She gave me that sense that she was that type of horse.
Talking with Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott, record 5 distaff wins already to his credit, looking for number 6 with a late in just 15 days out where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar. Bill, we've seen a lot of conditioners this year opting to skip the preps. Obviously, this filly, the exact opposite. She's going to be making her ninth start. The two older fillies in here, Forever Unbridled, hasn't run since the personal ensign. She's going to be going on 10 weeks. Stellar Wind hasn't run since the last week in July. So you're looking at a 3-month break. You think it gives you, your filly, a little bit of an edge, having raced so much and having the recency over the older fillies? Or do you feel like because the other fillies are mares and older at this point, it makes for more even playing field?
Well, I think with the other mares, I mean, they're more experienced and they're more seasoned, and they've had, you know, lots of races under their belt. I think our mare probably needed, you know, to continue on and race every 5 weeks. And you know, I think the spacing is good. I think it's enough. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's too much with ours. I think it seems to be, you know, working out quite well for right now. Speaking of, you know, horses that ran in the personal ensign and then didn't run back until the Breeders' Cup distaff was, I think we did that with Asina when when we won the distaff with her, and reason being was she had had kind of a tough year early on. She had run quite a few times, and it looked like the racing was trying to, you know, it was starting to get to her a little bit. So we didn't run her back in the Beldame. We skipped the Beldame and the Spinster and went right to the Breeders' Cup, and it worked out for her. So I think, you know, for different horses, it can work out just fine with that extra bit of time in between. I think fresh horses always run pretty well, so I would have to think that those trainers know what they're doing with their horse. I think they probably, you know, have it well thought out, and they know their horse, and they know what they're doing, and I just hope we know what we're doing with ours. So
when are you shipping out?
We're traveling a week from today. We go on a Thursday. We're going to breeze tomorrow here in Saratoga, and then we ship on next Thursday. We get out there, and that'll give us time to breeze over the track out of Del Mar one time.
All right, so she will breeze over the surface, and she's really seemed to thrive up at the old Spa, huh?
She's doing well. Yeah. You know, she started to grow a little bit of a winter coat up here. We've had some cool weather, and the horses that are up here tend to do that. Even though we've had warmer than normal temperatures, they tend to sometimes grow a little bit of a fuzzy coat on them. But, you know, she'll get a haircut before she goes to California, and you know, I'm sure the weather will be probably in the 70s and 80s out there, so we'll have to do that. But it seems like she's healthy and feels good. I just, knock on wood, I hope we can keep her good for the next 2 weeks.
Well, Bill, I appreciate it. I know you had a busy day today. I really appreciate some time today. Best of luck with the late and the rest of the contingent out at Del Mar this season.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Anthony.
Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott looking for that sixth victory in the Breeders' Cup distaff and his first since 2012 with Royal Delta. What a really interesting interview, and Bill Mott extremely candid talking about Elate, who is one of six 3-year-old fillies expected to tackle the older mares like Stellar Wind and Forever Unbridled in the Breeders' Cup distaff this year. Jude, one thing he mentioned at the end of that interview was with Elate being based up in Saratoga, with the cooler temperatures they've experienced in that part of the country, she's starting to grow that winter coat a little bit. Yeah, they'll give her a shave, she'll ship out there, but when horses go from cooler temperatures to warmer temperatures like they'll get in Southern California, can it be a disadvantage, or does it really not matter?
It could be a slight disadvantage.
Yeah.
One thing that a lot of the French trainers do, and I'm sure Mott's familiar with this because he's a brilliant
he's
guy.
All right.
But when you ship a horse in, they'll clip him, and it like invigorates the horse a little bit, like their
really?
Skin gets yeah it's a pretty huh. interesting trick. It's a hack.
But it works.
It does work. I learned that a long time ago from Hubert Guy, French bloodstock agent, now an American bloodstock agent, but Hubert, a very sharp guy, and it does work. So I don't think I mean, that wouldn't keep me from betting on her that she's coming from Saratoga to Del Mar. I just envy her schedule.
Yeah.
But, Elate's a very talented filly. When she broke her maiden by 12 at Aqueduct last November, I mean, everybody started anointing her as the next queen. You know, she was mentioned in, Songbird and Beholder after a maiden race at Aqueduct in the winter.
And it took her five more starts to win another race after that,
yeah,
right? So it just shows you that...
She kind of went a little goofy. She kind of lost focus, and I think Bill's done an excellent job with her.
Just... And it wasn't like she was bad in that four-race losing streak. She was second a couple of times. She had a third in there.
Yeah, but she also had a pulled up.
She did. Yeah, she did. That's never
good.
Where
she kind of refused to run.
That was in the Ashland here at Keeneland.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So I mean, her last two races were just off the
lights
chain
out.
Good.
Is she the top 3-year-old filly out of the? So here you go. You got Abel Tasman, Champagne Room, Elate, It Tis Well. I can say that. Paradise Woods and Roly Poly potentially from the barn of Aidan O'Brien. Is Elate considered maybe the top three-year-old filly among those six that I just mentioned?
I would have to say so. Roly Poly being a question mark.
Yeah, correct.
She's never run on the dirt, so we don't know. She's by Warfront, and we've seen some Warfronts run well on the dirt, but her pedigree definitely screams grass, and we don't even know for sure if she's going to run in this race.
Right, no, we have no idea, but she's one that is under consideration for the distaff.
Right.
Abel Tasman, winner of the Kentucky Oaks, she's run some bang-up races this year, too, for trainer Bob Baffert. She'll probably have Mike Smith aboard again, and you got to like that, the all-time leading rider in Breeders' Cup history.
Yeah, she's a very talented filly. She owns a Del Mar win, although that was a 7-furlong race, but that translates good to a mile and an eighth. She's very nice, but when you see the two, like if you use the Brisnet PPs, and they're actually free right now at Brisnet.com, the early PPs for the Breeders' Cup. If you look at those two 108 Brisnet speed figures that Elate has paired in her last two starts, they're pretty gaudy. For instance, Abel Tasman paired 99s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a 9-point difference back-to-back races. You have to think Elate is at the top of the heap of the three-year-olds here. There's nobody really that has figures that even compare.
Yeah. Yeah, well, of course, that's the Breeders' Cup distaff. We're going to talk more about that race and all 13 championship races as we edge closer to the World Championships November 3rd and 4th. Make sure you join us here on the network for all that coverage. We are your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup, now 11 years running, and proud to be able to say that. Head over to horseracingradio.net for a complete Breeders' Cup broadcast schedule. All right, we are going to step away for our weekly Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington, sponsors of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland this afternoon. When we come back, we'll talk with Ross Gallo, who is a 13-time National Handicapping Championship qualifier. We'll talk to him about the Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge next January. This is the Equine Forum. Stay with us. It's your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This tidbit of thoroughbred racing lore covers a time span. A time span, in this case, being the career of a horse which was a record setter while racing, but whose credentials as a sire stamped his name in capital letters on the now yellowing pages of recorded thoroughbred racing history. Calumet Farm purchased this horse as a yearling in 1936 at the Keeneland sale for $14,000 from Coldstream Studs Consignment. As a performer on the racetrack, he was good enough to win the Widener, Bluegrass, and Kenner Stakes, the Thornton Memorial, and the Autumn Handicap. At Keeneland, just a stone's throw from Calumet, he set track standards for 1 1/16 miles and 1 1/8 miles. In 27 starts, he had 10 wins, 7 seconds, and 2/3. That composite was accrued in 4 years of racing. He entered stud in 1944, a pittance, $750. But that quickly shot up when Twilight Tear and Duranza became successful on the racetrack as two of his progeny. These two were resultant of his first crop to race. He led the sire list 5 times, 1947, 48, 49, 52, and 53. He ranked second on the sire list 3 times, 3rd once, 5th once, and 8th once. At the time of his death in 1964, he had been matched only by Starshot and the legendary Nasrullah as a leading sire. He was the very first stallion who's get over $1 million in a single season, and he did it in back-to-back years in 1946 and 47. His get included 28 $100,000 winners, and he sired 358 foals, of which 268 of them won. To the end of his final year at stud, his offspring had accounted for 1,723 wins. He was the daddy of the consummately superb Citation, the solid-performing, hard-knocking Coal Town, and the quintessential filly Bewitch, all from a single year's crop. Bewitch and Twilight Tear were two of America's very best mares of all time. Our subject's thoroughbred sired two other Kentucky Derby winners in addition to Citation in 1948. He was the sire of Hillgale, who won in 1952, and Iron Liege, who won in 1957. For 5 years, from 1951 through 1956, his get held all three individual money-winning championships. Bewitch as a mare, Armed in 1947, and Citation in 1948 were Horses of the Year, and Coal Town was named Outstanding Performer of 1949. Another of his Get Bull Page was Canadian Horse of the Year in 1951. His offspring included these divisional champions: 2-year-old Citation, 2-year-old fillies Duranza and Bewitch, 3-year-olds Twilight Tear and Citation, 3-year-old fillies Twilight Tear, Thule, Wistful, Next Move, and Real Delight. Handicap horse, Armed, twice by the way, Citation and Coaltown, handicap mares Bewitch, Twilight Tear, Thule, and Real Delight, and champion sprinter Coaltown. This remarkable thoroughbred led the list of broodmare sires for 4 successive seasons, 1958 through 1961, and the offspring of his daughters included Quadrangle, Ambipoise, Blue Scope, Bourbon Prince, Finnegan, Good Move, A Pat on the Back, Bardstown, On and On, Restless Wind, I Done, Tim Tam, Leala, Barbizon, Pucker Up, Duke's Lee Lane, and How Now. Among his Get, subsequently becoming leading sires, including the likes of Citation, sire of Fabius, Silver Spoon, and many others, and Bo Max, sire of How Now and Golden Notes. At the time of his demise on June 16, 1964 at Calumet, he had established a record as the most successful sire of the 20th century in America. This son of Bulldog, out of Rose Leaves by Ballot, who left many memories, records, and a statue next to his gravesite at Calumet, and whose legend lives on to this very day, was Bull Lee.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Earn 25% more for every win when you send your horse to Virginia by taking advantage of the new Virginia Certified Program. Simply send your horse to reside in Virginia for 6 months prior to December 31st of their 2-year-old year and be eligible for a 25% owner's bonus for wins in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and West Virginia, regardless of state bred status. There's value in Virginia with the new Virginia Certified Program. Visit VABred.org for details.
What is it about Tony's Steaks and Seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Power.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Bowles have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta by Miss Aurelia. Here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including 3-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and Classic Placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop are now weanlings. Look for them at Keeneland in November. Empire Maker, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Set to visit with Ross Gallo, who is a 13-time National Handicapping Championship qualifier. Think about that. 13 times. Unbelievable. He'll be competing in the Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge at Gulfstream Park, which comes up January 26th and 27th. That promises to be an amazing event, and privileged now to have Ross with us here on the network. Ross, appreciate the time, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so 13 times. Come on, that's a little ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, you know, 13 times, but I've never really taken any. The best I've ever finished is 17th, so you got to put it together on that weekend. Unfortunately, I've never been able to do it to my satisfaction, but I have several friends that have done it. Ray Arsenal is one of my good friends, and we were up close and personal for his victory last year. That was pretty exciting.
What's the key to being good at playing handicapping tournaments? I say 13 times, and I joke about that being a little ridiculous, but it's certainly an amazing accomplishment. What's the key to playing tournaments and being successful? How do you do it?
Well, you have to be a decent handicapper, obviously, but I think the most important thing is preparation and limiting your mistakes. I think that's even more important than handicapping, knowing how to play, knowing the rules. There's so many different tournaments out there, knowing the rules that you're playing in and exploiting them to your advantage.
Do you find that on any given day your handicapping might be spot on and that's when you do the best, or do you find scrambling and trying to find horses race to race is the way to go?
Well, I think adaptability is another important thing because, you go into every tournament with a plan, a game plan, and, more times than not, that's going to go out the window not early. I mean, sometimes you'll hit something good and then you can stick right to your plan, but you have to be able to adapt, and you have to have horses ready that ones that you really like and ones that you might not like as much, but offer the value you're going to need to get to where you want to go.
Talk a little bit about the upcoming Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship. Now, it's a live money contest. I mentioned January 26th and 27th of next year at Gulfstream. The buy-in is $12,000, so there is no entry fee to play at Gulfstream Park. Explain a little bit about the format of this type of contest and why you're going to participate in it, Ross.
Well, real money is a passion of mine. I kind of came up with a real money tournament of my own in 2003. And I just thought it was a symbiotic relationship for the track, the host, and for the players. You get more control over what you're doing. In the hypothetical tournaments, and trust me, I love all the tournaments and all the formats, but hypothetical tournaments, you're kind of handcuffed in what you can do. Real money obviously opens up many new avenues. Anyways, with the Pegasus, this is an unprecedented tournament, and I just want the players out there to know, I understand $12,000 is a lot of money, but nothing like this has ever happened in the contest world. All the contests that we play now, every single one of them, the players are driving the prize pool, including the NHC. The NHC is up to $3 or $4 million now, and it's a great tournament, and we all want to be there every year. But it was originally formed as 100% payback, but the way the landscape has changed, with the internet and everyone having opportunities to bet online. It used to be you could get if you could get 200 guys to your facility, you could give 100% of the pools back because they'd be putting the money right through your windows and you'd be getting the churn. But, with the way it is today, that's not the case anymore. So I understand that it's not 100% payback, but the players are driving the prize pools is the point I'm trying to make. This tournament is the first of its kind. It's unprecedented. It's been kind of a dream of mine, honestly, over the years, that the prize pool is being provided by the Stronach Group. I previously mentioned Ray Arsenal. He's a good friend of mine. He's the defending NHC champion. He, along with a couple of his friends from Canada, Lauren Weiss and Alan Schaefer, kind of came up with the idea and brought it to Frank Stronach. They're all from Canada. They have a little bit of a relationship. And Frank has agreed to put up $100,000 out of his own pocket. Their wagering service, it's eluding me right now. They're putting up $100,000.
Yeah, expressbet.com.
And they're also, I'm sorry.
Yeah, ExpressBet, ExpressBet.com.
ExpressBet. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. They're putting up $100,000, and they're also going to contribute 8.75 cents of every dollar wagered into the contest itself, which is, again, like I keep using the word unprecedented, but it is unprecedented. You're playing with $12,000, your money, you're not putting up anything. If you play in the Breeders' Cup Challenge, BCBC, $10,000 entry fee, $2,500 goes to the prize pool. So you're already stuck $7,500 before you start. Churchill has a tournament as well, $12,000. $4,000 goes to the prize pool. Now, you know, these are exceptional prize pools and everything, but you're starting from behind the chain, so to speak, to use a football term.
Mm-hmm.
This tournament, $12,000, it's all your money to wager with. It's and they're putting up $200,000. It's going to be close to $500,000 that you're playing for. This is a great opportunity for the players. This could change the landscape of tournaments, and I can't stress more that guys out there need to support this tournament. The BCBC last year got 200 guys to put up $10,000. That's beyond the guys that are qualified along the way. 200 guys. There's at least 200 guys out there that will put up $10,000 to play great racing, and that's what you're going to have for the Pegasus World Cup for those 2 days, Friday and Saturday.
Well, for people that play a lot of contests, this is like a gold mine. I mean, it's such an amazing thing in free money. You've got to figure out a way to play. Is there any way to qualify for this?
Oh yeah, they have qualifying tournaments, so they're online, and I know some of the tournaments. Santa Anita, I think, just gave away some spots. They're going to be giving away spots along the way, but there's I don't know how much time there is to get the amount of players that they're going to need. I would say that the best that they can hope for this year is maybe to break even. I don't think that they're going to get the amount of players they need to make any kind of money. They probably will lose money. This is a leap of faith on their part, and they're doing it strictly for the horse players. So the guys really need to come out and support this tournament.
Yeah, it's a great
tournament.
I think
it's very important.
Great concept. It is the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship, January 26th and 27th at Gulfstream Park. If you want to learn more, here's what you do. You go to gulfstreampark.com/racing/contests. And it'll take you there. You can just go to gulfstreampark.com and click on that, and you can get more information on the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship. Ross Gallo, our special guest here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ross, just a couple of minutes left before we have to wrap things up, get to a commercial break. But I did ask you if you wouldn't mind taking the time to handicap the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run and the Maryland Million Classic for us, because we're going to have that coverage this afternoon on the network at 5 o'clock Eastern. So in 2 minutes or less, tell us who you like in those two races, my friend.
Okay, well, the Raven Run is a Grade 2 at Keeneland, 7 furlongs, 3-year-old fillies. A competitive race, which is what you would expect, a Keeneland and stakes race on the weekend, either in the spring or the fall. I'm kind of focusing on a couple of things here. One, that California speed is always dangerous coming this direction. And you get that in the 11 Miss Sunset and 9 Classy Tune. And also, if you focus in on Chaylon the 8, Peter Miller brought her to Belmont in June, and she went wire to wire in a little stakes race there at Belmont. And also, there's three horses in this race out of the Charlestown race last time out. I don't pretend to be an expert on Charlestown races, but I know that the outside paths are usually the best on big racing days there. And the 1, the 2, and the 7 are all out of that race. The 7 and the 1 were both in the outside paths. They were in first and second. I kind of focused in here on Overture, the 2, the Billy Mott horse that's picking up Jose Ortiz. Mike Smith had the horse way far back that day, which was kind of unusual. And the horse was on the rail the whole way, tipped out on the far turn, and then ducked back down in kind of a death move in the stretch and get beat a length. I think that horse can sit a trip here maybe off of the speed. I think the 11, as I mentioned before, is California speed and should sit a good trip on the outside. So, I don't know. I'm thinking 2-11 maybe, and the 5 horse is done all his running on turf. Was a hard hitter, has finished first or second in five different tracks. Hasn't run on the dirt since maiden breaker at Laurel for 40,000, but has been working gangbusters on the dirt. So I think that one might have a chance if the race breaks down a little bit. So I'm looking at the two there,
and that's Russ
with 5.11.
Ross, we do have to get to that final commercial break, so really appreciate you taking the time to analyze that race for us and to talk about that Pegasus Betting Championship. It's going to be a lot of fun, and thanks so much for being here, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Sorry we didn't get the other race, but I think that's going to run formful anyway. So.
All right, perfect. Ross Gallo with us here on HRRN. We will get to this final break of the first hour. We'll come back and get you set for a very busy second half of the show. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Play Keeneland this weekend and take your shot at a $200,000 guaranteed pick four on Friday and a $350,000 guaranteed pick four on Saturday. Friday's pick four includes the Grade 3 Pin Oak Valley View, and Saturday's includes the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run. Plus, you can play Keeneland's newest wager, the Rolling High Five. And every racing day, Keeneland offers a low 15% takeout pick five on the last five races. Learn more by visiting Keeneland.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillips continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich, is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce the brilliantly talented American Freedom for the 2018 breeding season. The last top son of the great Sire of Sires pulpit, American Freedom was a sensational graded stakes winner, defeating all three classic winners of his generation, while besting the great Gunrunner both times they met. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, said, quote, American Freedom was a freak. He had more natural talent than most Grade 1 winners I've trained. Airdrie Stud's newest sensation, American Freedom. Think about it.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
If you missed any portion of the first half of the program this morning, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. That includes Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott catching up with Anthony Stabile for an interview that we brought your way early in that first hour, and Ross Gallo talking about the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship in January. Hour number two features Cricket Goodall from the Maryland Million and Maryland Horse Breeders Association, and Corby Chiesa talking about making some history in today's Maryland Million. That's all ahead right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here, and through the eye of a needle, here she comes. And a late has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire, leaving the others behind. A late dominates the Beldame.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Arrogate is getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Tactical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here in the month of October. Happy to have you with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Everyone joining us throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 206, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. And everyone streaming us worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Welcome back to the program. Don't forget that listeners in 170 countries have made the Horse Racing Radio Network their home for racing coverage. Make sure you do the same. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Barron, and Pontiff in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. We're talking about the Grade 2 Lexus Raven run at Keeneland. We're talking some Breeders' Cup. And in the second half of the program, we're going to talk Maryland Million. And don't forget, you can tune in to all of our coverage of the Lexus Raven run and the Maryland Million this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net.
A comprehensive walloping?
Don't you love that call?
And not just like half-hearted walloping?
Part of me wishes he came out and said, opens up a can of, you know, because that's
opens
what Bolt
up a door. Can.
Yeah. A can of whoop, because, you know, that's what he did. I mean, Bolt Doro is really, really, is he going to be maybe the shortest price favorite that we see over the 13 races?
He'll be a short price. I don't know what Dre Fong's going to be. He's going to be a short price.
Oh, yeah, he'll be a short price, too.
Yeah, especially now that El Deal's not running.
Son of turf marathoner Gio Ponti, yes. Dre Fong, champion sprinter. I love it. This game.
That's why they don't run them on paper.
That's exactly right. Well, they don't run them on paper, and they're not going to run them on paper today at Laurel either. They're going to run them on that beautiful turf course and on the main track this afternoon for the Maryland Million program. And joined now by Cricket Goodall, who is the executive director of the Maryland Million. Cricket, welcome. Happy to have you on board. Happy Maryland Million Day.
Hi, guys. Yeah, happy to be here. It's going to be a great day. We're all excited. It's beautiful weather, great racing. We're looking forward to it.
And I should say, happy Jim McKay Maryland Million Day, because
yeah,
that is, you know, something that is near and dear to everybody's hearts in the world of thoroughbred racing.
Exactly. And he's actually being honored today by the National Racing Museum of Saratoga. They gave him the Joe Hirsch Media Honor Roll. They added him last year, and we're actually awarding that today in the Winner's Circle to his grandson, James Fontaloux. So he's always there with us.
You know, you've joined us on this program the past several years on this particular day, and it's always fun to, you know, showcase Maryland racing here on the program. But what is it about Maryland Million Day that really makes it so special?
Well, I think because it's been an established event, and it's, you know, really the biggest fall event, you know, we have in Maryland, and it gets a good crowd. It's a regional real celebration for Maryland horses and Maryland people. And, you know, it promotes the breeding industry in Maryland, focuses on that, which is great, and shows that off with a great racing card, you know, of horses that are sired by Maryland Maryland stallions or some Maryland breds. But we really focus on the stallions. Jim McKay, that was his vision after going to the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, we've been able to maintain that and have it really be a consistent, great event. So we're very proud of that.
Yeah, it was the first state bred showcase day. Am I correct about that?
It really was. Jim McKay went to the Breeders' Cup and came back and said, let's do this in Maryland. It took a couple years to get it done, but it did happen, and it grew over time. Actually, the first event was really a great event, October 1986. And so, yes, after that, then many states, most states that have, you know, great racing, have a either a state-bred showcase and or a sire showcase or both. So I think that Maryland Million really gave the incentive for the states to showcase their breds, and not only their state breds, but also the, you know, sired horses.
Cricket, in addition to serving as the executive director of the Maryland Million, you are also the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. So fill us in, kind of give us a state of the union type of look at where things stand now with racing in the state of Maryland.
Well, Maryland's hitting on all cylinders right now. We're doing, you know, once the slots money started coming and we could compete successfully with Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Delaware, you know, things have really been getting better and better each year. The breeding industry had suffered. The racing industry was, you know, struggling to compete. But now that the money's there, that allows us to be competitive, which encourages people to do their business in Maryland. You know, most of the farms never left, but the horses did go to other states where the money was better for a while. But they're all, you know, most of them are coming back. The mares are coming back. We're getting 6 brand new stallions in Maryland for next year's breeding season. So that's tremendous. That just, you know, reinforces the commitment that people have to the industry here and really looking to the future. When you bring a stallion into a state, you know, you're looking at a long-term commitment. So, again, the Maryland Million helps to reinforce that and really help people be comfortable making that commitment to the breeding program and long-term racing here. The Stronach Group has just been great with their refurbishing of Laurel and all the big plans they have in Maryland. That gets everybody excited, of course.
Well, I think one of the best advertisements for Maryland breeding is the horses, because they are competing all over the United States at a very high level now.
Yeah, Maryland breds have always been really competitive horses. You know, that sort of was the focus of our bred fund for a long time, to focus on breeding quality, competitive horses, and we've done that. It's just that for several years, you know, the numbers dropped, and so that makes it harder, obviously, to get out there and be seen. But Maryland's, you know, breeds great horses, has great horsemen, and that's why it's been able to sort of last through the peaks and valleys of this industry, which, you know, each state faces, you know, every state faces it at some point, and it just is how can you brace for the, you know, future and then last. It's really a long-term commitment, and I think people, you know, that really know the horse industry know that.
Cricket, I know that when we do an awful lot of promotion for the Maryland industry throughout the year and promoting Laurel Park and their races, and then, of course, being at Pimlico for the Preakness and doing a lot of coverage from Pimlico. But when you talk to people about either racing or breeding, I guess more specifically in the state of Maryland, what's your, I don't know, I guess I'll call it a sales pitch, but what's your approach when you talk to people and say, hey, come here, here's what we have. Lay it out for me.
Well, I think that the biggest pitch is the infrastructure and the horsemen we have in Maryland. And then you've got the viable, you know, competitive, great racing product, a great facility now. And you just have people who want a state that really focuses on the business of the horse industry, both breeding and racing. You've just got people who know what they're doing. And I think that, you know, Maryland people are, I think we do it better than the other states. I'll just say that. And I pitch that all the time. And it's great to have sort of the ability to produce the horse here, grow it here, and race it here. And so many people want that. They want to be able to go watch their horse, you know, as it grows. They want to be able to go watch it at the racetrack. And with Maryland, you can do that very, very easily and have fun while you're doing it.
such a great history there and a beautiful farmland. I would think a lot of people would be surprised, you know, because everybody talks about Kentucky, and Kentucky's beautiful, and I'm a Kentuckian, but I really love the farmland in Maryland and the history there and the way that people have had farms in their families for decades, and it's such a beautiful place to raise a horse. I think that's something that people need to consider if they're thinking about buying a farm.
Yeah, the climate's great, the limestone soil. I mean, all the benefits that Kentucky talks about, Maryland has those as well. But we're a smaller state, and so you're right. The family farms have been in the families for generations, and they're very proud of how they do their business and how they produce a horse. And I think that helps. It's a little bit smaller, a little more focused than Kentucky, and again, that may help people feel more comfortable. You're not going to get lost here with your horses. You're going to be much appreciated, you know, on whatever farm you do business with. And it also, like Kentucky, we also have a commercial market here, which is great. We have Fasig Tipton with 3 sales a year, the May sale, an October yearling sale, and then a December sale. So, you know, that's another added benefit to have a commercial market in your backyard. There's no doubt about that.
Visiting with Cricket Goodall, the executive director of the Maryland Million and the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Cricket, in the next segment, we're going to be joined by trainer Corby Chiesa, who will saddle Admiral's War Chest, looking for a third consecutive victory in this afternoon's Maryland Million Classic. And he would be just the second horse ever to win that race 3 times, but the first to do it in 3 consecutive years. So going to try and make some history later today. What are some of the other storylines or some of the other things that people can expect when they're tuning in to this year's Maryland Million?
Well, I think there's always great storylines and some that may be overlooked. I mean, he's going to get the attention because he's, you know, competing to make history, and that's great because Dr. Sinatra has been a big supporter of our industry in Maryland and deserves it. You know, he bred the horse, he raced the horse. Those are the kind of stories we love to see. But there's lots of those. It's just some of them are smaller guys that, you know, may have been pointing for Maryland Million Day for all year, and we probably won't hear about them until their horse does well that day. You know, we have trainers who've won their first stake on Maryland Million Day, owners who've won their first stake. Those are the kind of stories we really like, because this is sort of the day for those guys to shine. And, you know, we hope Admiral's War Chest can make history. Don't get me wrong. We'd love that. It would be a great story. But I also want, you know, we want the opportunity for little guys to get in that winner's circle and be proud.
Well, you've got a really nice field. John Jones is a great story, too. Claimed for $25,000 July of 2016, and he's gone up the ladder. He's had a prep race now. He looks like he might be a little salty in there.
Yeah, the Classic's come up really, really to be a good race this year. So it's competitive. It's going to be a great race, and we've got some really, you know, wonderful horses in there. And that's what we want. That's what we shoot for, because this is their day, our day, I guess, to really show what Maryland can do. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a day to celebrate, not just regionally, but nationally as well. And Cricket, can't thank you enough for being with us. Of course, our coverage of the Maryland Million Classic comes up this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern here on the network. We'll encourage people to make sure they're tuned in and to see if Admiral's War Chest can make a little history later today. And that's just one of the great storylines we'll see throughout the afternoon. Appreciate all the support, Cricket. Enjoy the afternoon. And like all of our guests who appear on the program here, we will send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And people can visit embracetherace.com to learn more about embracing their passion.
Great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. And we will talk to you soon. It's great to always, as always, to be on your show.
You're the best. Thanks, Cricket. Cricket Goodall here on HRRN. Yeah, what a job that she and her team and the folks in Maryland have done. And she credits the Stronach Group. A few weeks ago, we had the chance to visit with Sal Sinatra, who heads up Laurel and Pimlico and the Stronach Group there. And, you know, Sal was talking about how great it is to be part of an organization like the Stronach Group and Frank Stronach's organization. They've done things first class all the way through in the state of Maryland, just like they did with Gulfstream Park in Florida. And a lot of people didn't like what they did at Gulfstream when they tore down the old Gulfstream. you see the vision of Frank Stronach come to life now, and a lot of people have really embraced it.
Yeah, I was amongst the detractors at first.
I didn't care for it at first.
I loved the old Gulfstream, but I really love the new Gulfstream as well. And anybody that's been to a Frank Stronach party can tell you he does things first class, and he's done a great job with Maryland and Laurel in particular. And he's branching out. He's doing some more things. He's selling Edina Springs here and going to concentrate on breeding in other states, and that's going to help a lot of business, I think.
Well, don't forget you can weigh in on our poll question that we threw out there at the beginning of the show today. You can do that at HRRN on Twitter or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And here's the poll question. How do you like to bet the Breeders' Cup? And you have four choices. The first is multi-race wagers, like pick threes, pick fours, and pick sixes. The second, exactas, trifectas, and supers. The third, win, place, and show bets. And the fourth choice is other. And if you choose that one, we want you to specify. We want to hear from you as to how you like to play the Breeders' Cup. And don't forget, you can listen to the Breeders' Cup exclusively with us here on the network. Our coverage beginning a week from this Monday. That's October 30th. Visit our website for a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and visit with Corby Caezo, the trainer of Admiral's War Chest, looking to make it three in a row in the Maryland Million Classic. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
When it comes to picking winners at the racetrack, information is vital. And having information that your fellow players don't can lead to big payoffs. Biasbook.net is a must-have handicapping tool for all horse players. Biasbook.net does the hard work for you, identifying horses that ran with and against the bias. Now through Breeders' Cup, an exclusive offer only for HRRN listeners. Enter promo code HRRN and receive a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription at Biasbook.net, your source for the bias horse.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us for Jim McKay Maryland Million Day, Saturday, October 21st at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races. It's a celebration of Maryland's horses and lots of fun for all ages. First post is 12:15 with 11 exciting races. And don't miss the first annual hat contest with three categories and wonderful prizes. Join in the fun today at Laurel Park. For more information, visit MarylandMillion.com or MarylandRacing.com.
Hello, this is Stuart Morris. I've spent the last 30 years of my life in the thoroughbred industry. I've been fortunate to be surrounded by great mentors and great clientele base and phenomenal horses as I've come up. I started out with my father at Highclere and was fortunate to raise Silver Bullet Day. I sold the likes of Captain Steve and Silver Bullet Day. 3 years ago, I started my own consignment and have been very fortunate to have a lot of success in a short amount of time due to the great clientele base I have and the good folks that send me really quality horses that are raised the right way and get into good hands for us. We hang our shingle at most every sale east of the Mississippi River, and we hope to see you somewhere to buy your next stake horse at Stuart Morris Consignment.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here comes the favorite, Astern, and the colt is letting rip with a big run. Astern, a big winner in the Golden Rose.
Astern exploded in the stretch to win the 2016 running of the Grade 1 Golden Rose at Rose Hill. Astern is Medaglia d'Oro's look-alike son and the highest-rated son of his sire anywhere in the world by time form. Astern will be shuttling to Darley at John Abel for the 2018 breeding season, and his brilliant win in the Grade 1 Golden Rose makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is represented by five Grade 1 winners in 2017 and continues to lead all North American stallions in that category. Elate, Volt d'Oro, and the Brilliant Songbird are among Medaglia d'Oro's five individual Grade 1 winners this year. Recently, Wonder Godot became the ninth graded stakes winner for Medaglia d'Oro this year. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Top of the stretch, a quarter of a mile to go in the Maryland Million Classic. Admiral's War Chest looking to steal it all the way again. Shifts a little wide off that rail, has been well off that rail throughout with a three-length lead on Bullheaded Boy. Just Jack seems flattened out a bit in third. They're followed by Mr. Blue in fourth inside the last furlong. And Taylor Hole slowed it down. And Admiral's War Chest won't have to sweat out a photo this year. He's got it all the way. Admiral's War Chest. Beat Bullheaded Boy, Just Jack. I'm Mr. Blue Flash McCall at Big Branch.
That's Dave Rodman with the call. Admiral's War Chest winning the Maryland Million Classic for the second consecutive year last October. This afternoon, he looks to make it three in a row, and he'd be the first horse in history ever to win the race three consecutive years. We're going to visit with his trainer, Corby Caezo, coming up here in just a couple of moments. But before we do, it is time for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here's one for you. The Champion Stakes loses Ulysses to the Breeders' Cup. Well, you still have Highland Reel, who heads an accomplished group of horses in the mile and a quarter test. Some classic confrontations are on tap for the season topping, but Storm threatened British Champions Day at Ascot later this afternoon. Although the event lost a marquee name in Ulysses, who will head directly to the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar, Champions Day includes four Group 1 events and a Group 2. Started in 2011, the program has evolved quickly into a major year-end target for UK racing. Championships are on the line, and this year's event is spiced by trainer Aidan O'Brien's chase of the late Bobby Frankel's record of 25 top-level victories in a season, a mark he seems well-placed to surpass at Ascot. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. Don't forget, for more industry news and headlines, you can head over to BloodHorse.com. And don't miss any of this fall's race coverage around the country like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Simply go to BloodHorse.com/daily. Well, Jude, as we mentioned, Admiral's War Chest going to look to make history later this afternoon. We'll have our coverage 5 Eastern here on the network. You can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. But here's a horse that, look, if he can pull it off, he won't be the first horse to win the Classic three times, but he will be the first to do it in three consecutive years. And he looks tough in there again today.
Yeah, he's had his prep race and showed good speed, got a little tired, should be a lot fitter for the experience, and he's a horse that likes to win races. He's 5 for 21 lifetime, made $303,000.
Yeah, Corby Caezo, his trainer, is with us now here on HRRN. Corby, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Are you ready to make some history?
We're going to try our best.
How cool would it be? I mean, here he is, a six-year-old Maryland bred. I mean, how neat would it be to win this race three consecutive years?
Oh, it'd be amazing. Just blessed to have a horse like him in the barn.
What makes him so good?
He's just a gutsy horse. He tries hard all the time. He's big, strong. He's got the mind of a racehorse. You know, that's his life. You know, he's so focused when he goes to do his job.
Have you trained him for his whole career?
Yes, I've had him. I broke him as a baby, and then I've had him his whole life. I've had him here since he was a yearling.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Does that, Corby, does that make it maybe a little extra special for you if he can pull off this feat later this afternoon?
Yeah, it'd be really special. It'd be great for the owner, Dr. Sinatra. You know, he owned Admiral's dad, and he bred the horse. So it's like 100% connection for him. So it would be, you know, really special. I think he's the only person to win the Maryland Million who owned the stallion and the mare and had the offspring win the race. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Talk about Dr. Sinatra a little bit and what he means to the Maryland breeding industry.
He just brings a lot of compassion and focus. He has a bunch of mares. He supports the industry. He's always, you know, striving to do good. And we're just, you know, he bought a farm here in Darlington, Maryland, and, you know, this is the hub of his whole operation. So, you know, he's in it. He plays the game with two hands.
So. That's great to have a client like that. How many horses does he breed every year?
We breed about 15, maybe. We have some mares that stay in Kentucky, and then we have mares here in Maryland. Yeah, they're all over the place.
How about for you, Corby? I mean, looking back on your career, you know, obviously this is a big horse for you. You come in here looking to make some history later today. How about for you? What would it mean to Corby to pull off a win here?
Oh, it would just be so special. I was born and raised here in Maryland, and to do something like this in Maryland for the Maryland stud farms would just be amazing. I can remember going to see the Maryland Million when it was at Pimlico years and years ago. And it would just, you know, everything would kind of come full circle. It would be pretty amazing.
When did you first know that this was what you wanted to do for a living?
When I was in high school, I worked on a breeding farm, and we broke some babies there, and I got really into it, and then I started working at the track, and once I started doing that, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I don't know, the action, the excitement, once it gets in you, it's pretty much hard to get rid of.
Yeah, it seems like high school is the hinge for a lot of people getting into the horse business. I don't know if it's because you don't want to go to high school or you just really like the horses, but it was kind of the same for me. I started doing a few odd jobs at the track when I was in high school, and I really got into it, and it's never left me. I think when you start out young like that, you have a real appreciation for what goes on at the track and the lifestyle that you're choosing.
Yeah, it's definitely a different type of lifestyle. You know, it's a 7-day-a-week lifestyle. But everything works out for the best, and, you know, you become used to it. And, it's just the way life is.
Corby, walk me back through the last two victories in the Maryland Million Classic. Of course, the first one coming in 2015 when he wins it by a neck after being in front by, what, 5 in the stretch and then holds on to win by right. a neck. And then last year he wins it by open lengths. Take me back through each of those. Start with 2015.
2015, I said to the boss, let's, you know, put him in there and try it. And I think we cross-entered him on the turf. And we went in there just with hopes of running good, you know. And when he turned for home, I can remember Jan Sinatra saying to me, he's going to win it. And I kept on telling her, the finish line isn't here yet. They're coming at him. you know, turning for home, I just started getting nervous because of the long stretch run. But it was pretty amazing, you know, to win my first stake race and it to be of that caliber. It was pretty special.
Did you kind of know that you had it at the wire? Like I say, the margin was only a neck. Did you know that you held on?
No. I was kind of sweating it a little bit. I knew that when horses run at him, where when he's in front, when they run at him, he tends to push forward. You know, he doesn't like hearing them come at him. So I knew he was going to keep on running to the wire, but I just didn't know if he was going to get there first. So that's how that year ended up, which was great. The next year, We gave him the winter off like we had been doing, and we brought him back, and he just came back stronger and more focused than he was the year before. So going into the race last year, I was not confident, but I was a little bit more confident of what he was going to do. I knew if he broke good and things went his way going into the first turn that they weren't going to catch him. We had done some other stuff with him, and he just kept on thriving on what we were doing with him. And, you know, he did what he did pretty easily. That was, he was doing really good last year.
Talk about that for a second, the adjustment from year to year. Bobby Frankel always said, you know, horses aren't the same. You do one thing with them, and then they change, and you have to change with them. Talk about what a trainer goes through as he's adjusting the schedule for a horse from year to year.
Well, every horse is different, and they don't always run the same way when you do the same things to them. So you're always, like, trying new stuff or tweaking it a little bit, and you want to keep the animal happy and, you know, healthy and sound. And I think when you go into a big race and you have a happy, healthy horse, you have a big advantage where if you just have a horse going in there. You know, it's a mental game, too, as much as a physical game. So you always, I always try and just keep them happy, and, you know, you want them to peak on that day. That's the day they have to peak. So it's not peaking in the morning. There's no money in the morning. You just got to get them to peak that afternoon.
Visiting with trainer Corby Caezo here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Corby, I don't often do this, but I'm going to ask you point blank. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Is it Caezo?
It's Chiazzo.
Chiazzo, okay. We weren't too far off. Wanted to make sure we at least had that one right for you. Corby Caezo here on the Equine Forum. All right, Corby, so you go for three in a row this year, but you're going to break from the inside post. Now, when you won it in 2015, you came out of post seven. Last year, it was post three. You move inward to post one this year. The favorite in the race is not Admiral's War Chest. It's the horse just to your outside in post two, John Jones. Size up the competition for me a little bit.
Well, that's one thing that makes me nervous. My horse is a real big horse, and he just sits in the gate. There's no room for him to sit back on the doors and push forward. So his second jump coming out of the gate is his best jump, where a lot of horses get a real good first jump. So having the speed of John Jones next to me is not going to benefit me at all. I really need to get out of there. You know, he's got to break the best he can, and, you know, I have to have position coming out of the first turn for things to be successful. You know, it's the luck of the draw. It is what it is, and we just have to do the best we can with what position we drew. So,
and you're going to try and do it. Jones, you're going to try and win this race for the first time without jockey Taylor Hole in the saddle.
Yeah, but me and Steve Hamilton have been friends since I was 16, 17 years old. So we talk a lot, and he rode the horse the other day, and we had a long talk about different things that he likes and a couple adjustments to how we're going to do things. And I don't think it'll be a problem at changing rider. And it would, you know, it'd be special if I won it with him. You know, I can remember driving him to the track, you know, when I was working on the track when he rode out of town. So, you know, it'd be a special thing if the two of us won the race together.
Yeah, it's nice when you have a special relationship with a rider that understands how you train and what you're trying to accomplish. It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, there's kind of like a bond together, and, you know, they know where you're coming from, and it just makes life easier, I think.
Well, Corby, all of our guests who appear on the program receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Of course, you can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. And we're just going to go ahead and ask you, what is it about this sport that really makes you embrace the race, Corby?
I think it's the excitement of it, whether you're racing, buying, or selling. it's just there's a special energy to it that really gets you. It's something, you know, every day you want to feel that energy. You walk in the barn, and when you have special horses in the barn, you can feel the energy of the horses in the barn. It's just, it's a special feeling. I think that's what makes me come to work every day.
Yeah, well said. If we could bottle that, this sport would be so easy to market, wouldn't it?
Yep. Well, it's a roller coaster of a sport, too, so.
Yeah, well,
it only has its highs and its lows.
Let's hope that roller coaster ride is a good one for you this afternoon, my friend. Thank you so much for being with us here on the show. Good luck with Admiral's War Chest. Go make some history.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right. Corby Chiazzo with us here on HRRN. And, yeah, you know, hey, can you count this horse out? No, absolutely not, because you know he loves Laurel. You know that he knows how to win this race, certainly, and you know that Corby's been pointing for it. John Jones, a tough out just to his outside. He's going to be really tough. But, yeah, Admiral's War Chest, tough to go against in this spot this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a very interesting race. There's several horses that have a chance, and if he wins it, he deserves every bit of history and credit that he'll get.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We're going to get to one final break. We will come back and catch you up on what's ahead here on the network. We'll also continue to talk more Breeders' Cup and look at that Grade 2 Lexus Raven run later this afternoon at Keeneland. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Kentucky Derby winner Orb has emerged as one of the nation's most promising young stallions. The leading freshman sale sire of weanlings, yearlings, and two-year-olds, his first runners are off to a fast start. His debut winners have dazzled on the track, scoring on both dirt and turf. In the sales ring, his yearlings continue to command top prices, including the $1 million co-sale topper at Saratoga. Outstanding value, outstanding results, Orb, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Vest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Vest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Vest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Point of Entry. A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy. The sire of two-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dinah Former and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they turn for home with Sweet Loretta confronting them on the outside. And in the center of the track, Pretty City Dancer is continuing to make progress as Sweet Loretta takes the lead. Sweet Loretta's in front with one furlong to go. Drifting out on the lead here to Pretty City Dancer, who is trying to get by with a 16th lap. It is Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer. That was Cherry Lodge and fun.
Well, who can forget that race at Saratoga back in 2016? A Pretty City Dancer. That's the last time that she has been in the winner's circle, believe it or not. She's trying to get back there later today in the Grade 2 Lexus Raven run at Keeneland, presented by Lexus and the Lexus store of Lexington. Again, want to send our well wishes to the godfather, Tony Attiano, at the Lexus store, who was supposed to be with us in the first half of the show, feeling a bit under the weather, so we wish him all the best. And godfather, love you. Swing out there and say hello to the godfather when you get a second, and let him know that you heard us talking about him right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to be a good one today at Keeneland.
Yeah, it's always a good race, the Raven Run. A three-year-old filly's going 7/8. It's one of those divisions that there isn't really a Breeders' Cup race for, since it's straight three-year-olds.
And, yeah.
Of course, you can always run in the filly and mare sprint, but
you think you'll see anybody come out of this race and take a shot at that?
I seriously doubt it.
Yeah.
This is a Grade 2, and it would be coming back in 2 weeks, which isn't the worst thing ever. I mean, it could conceivably happen, but you don't see it very often.
All right, well, we're going to talk about that race for you here in just a minute, but we do want to remind you that if you haven't already done so, you'll want to make sure you keep an eye on the racing action at Woodbine. It continues 4 days a week until Sunday, December 10th. That's right, you have until Sunday, December 10th to take in the great racing action north of the border. The early pick four wager on live thoroughbred racing cards will carry a guaranteed pool of, get this, $100,000 on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and $50,000 on Fridays, with the Thoroughbred Pick 5 guaranteed at $30,000 on Fridays and $50,000 on Wednesday, Saturdays, and Sundays. You can also take advantage of the 20-cent bet minimums on all the Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools during each live racing card. And don't forget that tomorrow, the fourth and final leg of Woodbine's Turf Endurance Series takes place, the longest race ever run on North American turf. It will be 2.25 miles. Might have to get our friend Sean Clancy out of retirement for that one. You can visit WoodbineRacetrack.com to learn more about their great racing product and all the great things happening at Woodbine.
Yeah, that's really cool. Looking forward to that.
More than 2 miles. My legs would be burning. These jocks, how do they do it?
It's actually easier to ride a long race than it is a short race.
Really?
Did you know that?
No, how did you know that?
Well, I've never ridden either one, but I've had a lot of conversations with riders over the years, and sprint races are the most difficult for the riders.
I guess because you're always down and going.
Yeah,
right?
They're in action the entire time. When you're riding a 2.25 mile race, unless your horse runs off with you, which sometimes happens in those races, but you just get into a nice pace. It's kind of like galloping a horse.
And yep,
it's just more relaxed, and you can really get into the flow of the race.
I remember a few years ago, I was with Chris McCarron out at the Kentucky Horse Park, and he had some equisizers out there, and he was letting people come by and try them out. And of course, the equisizers, if you've never seen one, it's kind of what the jockeys use to stay loose and warm up and even practice some of their techniques. You'll see one in the jocks room just about every racetrack. And so he asked me if I wanted to try it. I said, sure, I'll give it a shot. So here I am in my shorts, my flip flops, right? And I hop up in there and
typical riding attire.
Yeah, typical riding attire. and I put my feet in the stirrups and we go, and I had to stay in the perfect jockey position, right? Meaning I had to be down, my legs had to be you know, my thighs were burning the whole time, but I had to make it 2 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And Chris was behind me telling me, you know, not to let my butt slide up off the seat. He said, no, you got to stay down, got to stay low. And you're pumping with your hands the whole time on the horse's rein. So it's just like you're riding a race or similar anyway. And I made it. I made it the whole 2 minutes. But when I finished, I got off of there. I tried to walk after.
Looked like you left the horse behind.
Looked like I was leaving the pub. So I couldn't move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough racket. You know, people think it's easy because the jocks make it look so easy, but it's not.
No, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
That's right. You love that line more than I do.
I do. I absolutely do. All right, let's talk about the Grade 2 Lexus Raven run. 5:30 Eastern is the post. Again, our coverage at 5 Eastern here on the network, horseracingradio.net. 7 furlongs on the main track at Keeneland. Big field, field of 11. You have the top three finishers from the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks coming back in this race, including the very talented Tecalita, who won that race. How do you see it, JT?
Well, it's pretty interesting. You mentioned earlier about any of these fillies going to the Breeders' Cup, and the best three-year-old in this division, of course, is Unique Bella. So I really don't see anybody wanting to hop on a plane to go run against her. But you know, there's a nice balance in here of speed horses and closers, horses that can press the pace. So I think it's one of those races where you got to look for a horse that it's going to set up for. Now, we had our guest on talking about Miss Sunset from the outside, and he mentioned California Speed.
Oh, Ross, yeah. Ross Gallo.
And I always think that California Speed is dangerous like he does. And Miss Sunset's drawn outside, which is a terrific edge, I think, going 7/8, and going to allow Julian Leperu to place her at will. There's another California horse in there. Shallan, who just ran second at Keeneland, Finley's Lucky Charm, who's a total beast, you know, and she's got speed, and
she's going to the Filly and Mare Sprint.
Yes, she is going to the Filly and Mare Sprint. Shallan?
Mm-hmm. No, well, I think Shallan isn't Shallan.
No, Shallan's in
that direction.
They just put her in the Phasic Tipton sale.
Okay, so I Finley's think Lucky Charm is going.
Finley's Lucky Charm is going. Yeah, Shallan's gonna, I think, running this race and stay here and be sold.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right, that's the plan.
Does not.
But Finley's Lucky Charm is the horse I was referring to. She's going in the Filly and Mare Sprint, and she's, like you said, she's a beast.
Yeah, she's just fantastic.
Yep.
So you have to respect Shallan, too, because, you know, she just got beat a length in 3/4, but it was a big effort in the TCA. She got a 98 Brisnet speed figure. Which is 1 point over par for this level. So I think those two horses are very interesting. Another horse, Overture, Bill Mott's horse, she's been a stone speed horse most of her career, although she did run in a 7/8 race when she broke her maiden. She started out fourth, a couple lengths off the pace, and finished. But in her last race, Mike Smith maybe didn't get the memo that he wasn't on Zenyatta. She started out 8th, 13 lengths behind, came flying at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to see that kind of versatility from any horse, but especially a filly. And that was a very impressive effort. If she doesn't bounce, I think she could be a major threat in here. But there's other horses that have a chance. This is a wide-open race. Tecalita, Mike Matz's horse, she's been very good throughout her career. Mike Matz does a good job. She just won the Charlestown Oaks Grade 3, and that was a big effort that night. And then Nona Mella from Todd Pletcher's stable, she's very competitive too. She fires every time. She was second in the Prioress behind Vertical Oak. Now, that race was run on an off track, but her race before on dry land was impressive as well. She got a 100 Brisnet speed figure in an allowance race going 7 furlongs at Saratoga. So that makes you take some notice as well. So I think it's a wide open race. What I'm going to do, I'm going to be out there this afternoon, and I'm going to look at the contenders that I like and see who's a good price and bet on that one. I'm going to go with the horse that the public doesn't like that I think has a chance.
The Oxleys are tied with Judmont for most victories in the Lexus Raven run. The Oxleys and Judmont Farms have each won the race on two different occasions. The last time that Debbie and John Oxley won the race was back in 2005 when they sent out For All We Know for John Ward under Sean Bridgmahan. They're going to try and win it for a third time. They would stand alone, obviously, on top of that list if they can pull it off. And you just heard the clip coming back from that last break of Pretty City Dancer. The Spinaway Stakes in 2016, September of last year, the last time that Pretty City Dancer was in the winner's circle, she dead-heated that day with Sweet Loretta. Jude, she's 0-4-6 since that time. Any shot that Pretty City Dancer can get back to her winning ways in this, but it'd be an upset, but could she do it?
Well, it seems like trainer Mark Cassie doesn't really know what to do with her. You know, he tried her on the turf last time. That resulted in a last-place finish, although she did have a lot of trouble in that mm-hmm. race. But he doesn't go back to the turf. Her best races have been in sprints. Most of her success has been in sprints. So I think if you redline the distance races, the Devona Dale, the Ashland, the Eight Bells was a sprint. She ran fifth. She ran fifth in her two most recent sprints. So that's like not great, but it does give her a modicum of hope. But I would think it might be time for her to retire if she doesn't run an improved race in this particular event. I think
that might be it.
I would send her home. She's a Grade One winner, and she doesn't really seem to have it anymore.
Well, I know our good friend Stuart Morris, who is an unbelievable consigner, he's going to be cheering for Overture in the Lexus Raven run. Overture trained by Bill Mott. Jose Ortiz is in to ride. Overture represents, it would be big if Overture were to win this race for Stuart, because he will be selling Overture's mom, that is Tocket Over, the dam of Overture, in full to Tappet. How about that? And he'll be selling Overture's Little Sister by Bernardini at the Phasic Tipton November sale. You think he wants Overture to win this race?
Yeah, I would think so, because then you could name the full Tap Talk.
Ooh.
Overture has a major chance in here. I mean, obviously, she's got a lot of talent. She's made $208,000. They're still, over $100,000 behind on winning her out, but this race would go a lot to do that. And, she fires every time. She's never been out of the money in seven lifetime starts. Two wins, two seconds, three thirds. Very, very nice filly by congrats. And no reason to think that she couldn't get the job done.
All right, don't forget that you can tune in to our Spanish talk show, Hablando de Ibismo. You can do that beginning 10 o'clock Eastern time at hrnnespanol.com. Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma spend an hour each week at 10 Eastern talking about horse racing in Spanish. So for all of your Spanish-speaking friends, have them head over and listen to Hablando de Ibismo 10 to 11 Eastern time after we finish up here, and that's online at hrnnespanol.com. Also, when you go to our website, horseracingradio.net, you can take a look and listen to our Jock Talk show, which airs on Tuesday nights. It's presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. This past week, Christina McManigal sat down with jockey Jose Valdivia Jr. for a full hour. It was a really fun visit. You won't want to miss it. Head back over and listen to that interview. And Jude and I spent some time on Trainer Talk presented by Phasic Tipton with trainer Tim Gleishaw, and that was a really enjoyable visit too. It's a full hour with Tim Gleishaw, and he's been on fire lately getting ready to head to the Breeders' Cup. So head back over, listen to those shows right now. You can do it at horseracingradio.net. Gleishaw was great. Valdivia was awesome too.
Yeah, well, Jose's just a really cool guy. I've known him for a long, long time, since he was a bug rider. And his uncle, Fernando Toro, used to ride a lot of races for me. So we go back a long ways, and it was great to hear his story. And then Tim Gleishaw, he's hotter than grandma on a Saturday night.
Yep.
And I'm happy to say he's running Polar Vortex in the Dowager on Sunday. And our listeners, the Reed boys, they're excited about the race. I'm going to go out and watch her run. She's a filly that loves the long distances, and hopefully she'll get a piece of the pie on Sunday.
All right, we're going to take one final break. We'll come back and wrap this one up for you. You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
Racing fans, with just two weekends left, be sure to make plans to join us at Santa Anita before time runs out on October 29th. This Saturday and Sunday, you can take a shot at up to $10,000 in cash prizes and much more by signing up for our $500 Autumn Handicapping Challenge at SantaAnita.com. Our main event Saturday is the $100,000 California Flag Handicap. As always, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four and $100,000 in the pick six. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Tip, tap, Tapazara puts his head in front. And tip, tap, Tapazara has won the sapling.
Performance.
Shari is rallying outside of Tap. They're battling for second. Tap it all. A convincing winner of the California Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazara, an emerging young son of three-time champion sire Tappet, who was once again the leading sire at Keeneland September by gross and average. Tapazara was a runaway winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and hails from the female family of Tappet's champion filly, Untappable. The sire of 42 winners, including 2017 California Oaks heroine Tapazara and TDN Rising Stars, American Pastime, and Mr. Crow. Tapazara, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Dre Fong and Masochistic are tearing strips off each other. Three lengths in front of AP Indian. The race setting up beautifully for him. Top of the stretch, Dre Fong, Masochistic clear from AP Indian. Dre Fong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won. Second, close, very tight. Masochistic or Mind Your Biscuits, AP Indian, a flat fourth.
Dre Fong, a winner of last year's Breeders' Cup Sprint, and looking forward to seeing him back in action this year as well. You're going to hear that race in every Breeders' Cup race exclusively with us here on the network. You can visit horseracingradio.net for a complete Breeders' Cup Week schedule, listing of affiliates, and SiriusXM channel information. And yes, you can always listen to us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Mike Penajude Fell, back with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, wrapping up this edition of the Equine Forum. Want to remind you that before you play the races today, and you heard Jude talking about the Lexus Raven Run in the previous segment, head on over to our website, listen to the Weekend Stakes Preview Show presented by Naira Betts. That is one that you won't want to miss. Jude and Anthony look at not just the Raven Run, but all the big races coming up this weekend, including that Maryland Million Classic and Admiral's War Chest run at history. We'll see if he can pull it off later today.
Yeah, it's a really nice card in Maryland. Some good races at Belmont Park. Very good Raven Run stakes at Keeneland. So there's a lot of good things on the stakes preview.
Yeah, we still want to hear from you with our poll question, too. At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Head over there and weigh in. And don't forget to follow us on our social media pages as we bring you that coverage live from Del Mar. It kicks off a week from this Monday. Again, that full schedule posted on our website at horseracingradio.net. 5 o'clock Eastern is when our coverage kicks off this afternoon. The Lexus Raven Run and the Maryland Million Classic. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, takes you through a full hour of coverage later today. JT, been a lot of fun as always, my friend.
Yeah, it was a good show.
All right, for our producer, Lee Delapina, Sean C. Chauncey, handling all of our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. And hey, bring on the Bengals. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.